Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
We often get asked many personal questions across all of our channels, so for today's podcast episode, we thought we would address how well you all know Ethan and I. We asked you to let us know what assumptions you have about us, and we will be sharing the most popular ones to address whether or not they are in fact true.
Ah, yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
wonderful
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, riding your bike, waxing your skis or snowboards, because you're getting ready to hit the slopes, or even
waiting at the doctor's surgery.
I'm joined here in the virtual Barcelona studio, as always, by the lovely Andrea. How's it going, Andrea?
It's going well, thanks for asking. I'm getting a little bit out of breath these days when I'm speaking, so apologies for that. I'll try my best today.
It's not COVID, just in case anyone is worried about that.
If you tuned in to a couple of podcasts previously, you'll know that I'm pregnant, and now, yeah, I'm getting closer, so sometimes it's a bit of a struggle.
No problem, though. So I liked how you just said, if any of you tuned in a couple episodes ago, but you and I say that a bit different.
Yeah, so, I mean, in received pronunciation, you'd probably hear it more as tuned in, but most of us in the UK, or definitely where I'm from in London, people tend to say this TU sound more as a ch, so we say tuned in. It's just easier to say, less work.
In London, you ride the tube, but you'd say that different, or you maybe have a nice tuna sandwich. How would you say those?
Yeah, so I would ride the tube, and I love tuna.
Would you even say, I guess it'd be if it, if you said like tuna and toast, that would be quite different in British, because it'd be like tuna and toast, right?
Yeah. You said it well.
Yeah, the what is that called? The intrusive R there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was one of the things that really stuck out to me watching The Crown, obviously. The series we always talk about, if people want to learn received pronunciation, be able to speak like the queen and the royal family, that that TU, you definitely really notice that they kind of add in an extra Y there or something.
Yeah, definitely. Like the queen would say tube. I'm sure she's never ridden the tube, but that's how she would say it. And I don't know if she enjoys tuna sandwiches. She probably prefers cucumber sandwiches or like smoked salmon and cream cheese, you know, like with an
that
afternoon
would make more
tea.
Sense. That was just flown in from Scotland.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about British or received pronunciation so much in this podcast, although maybe there'll be some assumptions that have to do with your life in the UK. But before we get into some of these fantastic and hilarious assumptions, we have a shout out to a very special listener and app user.
So today's shout out is from Ted Lodius, and he says, "Guys, this app is out of this world. It's absolutely easy to use, and I learn a lot. All the difficult words used are explained." Ah, yeah.
Ah, yeah. Thanks so much, Ted. And Lodius, is that a Greek name? Sounds like maybe it could be Greek, but I'm probably making that up.
Yeah, I don't think it is, but it maybe kind of sounds a bit Latin, or it does sound a bit older.
So we can't see where Ted is from, but it kind of tickled my curiosity. So I really liked how he mentioned there that all the difficult words used are explained. So that's true, that if you're feeling like you're listening to this and sometimes we're using words or expressions that are a little bit difficult, then you might want to use the app if you're not using it already, because you get the transcript, so you'll be able to see the words and you can get the definitions for them as well. And it's absolutely free. And as he says,
it's out of this world. What does that mean if it's out of, something is out of this world?
It's like a way to describe something that is just so amazing and incredible that it's like it's from another planet, or, you know, it's just not something so usual that you would find in this world.
Exactly. So it's a really great expression to use. And if you want us to shout you out, then try out the app. And if you enjoy it, leave us a 5-star review on the Apple app or Google Play Store. And that way we can find you and give you a shout out as well. So before we get into today's main topic, we have a kick-ass quote for you guys, or rather an old saying.
Yeah, so this old saying I thought was really great for today's topic. I don't know if you've heard it, Ethan, but I recognize it. Yeah. So there is an old saying that to assume makes an ass out of you and me. Now, it probably works better if you were to say it, like, because it's with the American spelling.
That's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's a play on the word assume, because if you break up that word, it looks like ass you me.
Yeah, I love this. The first time I heard it, and it makes so much sense. So why do we say that? Why do we say, when you assume, it makes an ass out of you and me?
Yeah, so I thought this was great to explain what an assumption actually is, because an assumption is when you draw conclusions, when you come to some sort of belief or idea or conclusion without the facts. And so sometimes it's necessary to assume, for sure. So don't worry if you make assumptions. But the idea of this old saying is, you know, sometimes when you assume, you make an ass out of yourself because it's completely wrong, I guess.
Yeah. It's a good expression to remember for the workplace. Not actually like using this in the workplace, but a lot of times I think when people get into trouble is when they assume things at work, right? And so instead of, because maybe they're a bit timid to like ask a question, especially if it's like your boss or someone you don't know so well. And so you'll just assume, but then maybe you make a mistake because you assumed instead of asking a question. So usually it's better to ask a question because you don't want to make an ass out of yourself, which means that you make a fool out of yourself or you do something silly. So that's a really great one. I think it's a great place to get into today's main topic because maybe some of these assumptions aren't so accurate, but they're all in good fun. So shall we jump into it, Andrea?
Yeah, definitely.
Hey there, Real Lifer. Have you downloaded the Real Life English app yet? On the app, Andrea and I will guide you beyond the classroom to live, learn, and even speak English in the real world. So how do we do this? To start with, you can listen to the Real Life English podcast and Beyond Borders talk show, even this very episode, with digital transcripts so that you can follow along and develop your listening fluency. Plus, check dozens of definitions of all the most difficult vocabulary, idioms, phrasal verbs, slang, and so much more that you won't find anywhere else or in any other podcast. And how would you like to develop real-life speaking confidence at the touch of a button by speaking with other learners while making friends across cultures? Sounds like a dream, right? Well, now with the Real Life app, it will be a dream come true. Download the app to listen to our podcast with transcripts and definitions whenever and wherever you want, and speak with people from all around the world. What are you waiting for? Join our global community today by clicking the link in the description of this podcast or by going to www.realifeglobal.com/app. That's APP. Or simply search for the Real Life English app in the Google Play or Apple App Store today and let us guide you beyond the classroom to live and learn and speak English in the real world. Ah, yeah. All right, so we have a list of assumptions about you and about me and about both of us. So What do you think if we take turns doing one from each of us, and then once we go through those, then we can do the ones about both of us?
Sounds good.
All right. Well, I'll let you do the honors.
Okay. So starting off with where I'm from, we had an assumption that I'm from London. And yeah, I thought it would be good to talk about this one first, just in case. Obviously, most people recognize I speak with a British accent, but I am, you're correct to assume that I'm from London. That's where I was born and raised.
Right. I feel like some British people get annoyed because people assume that they're from London when in fact it's obviously it's a big country. It's not actually area-wise, it's not that big, but there's a lot of population outside of London as well. So I guess a lot of people might get a little bit annoyed if you assume that they're from London just because you hear a British accent, especially because thinking about Americans, usually we're not so good at distinguishing one British accent from another.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, because lots of people tend to think of capital cities and they forget that there are so many others and like the rest of the country. So yeah, not everyone is from London, although it's the capital.
Right. Well, the first one I had was Ethan is from Colorado. So that's actually quite good as well that someone didn't say maybe the equivalent of saying a British person is from London or assuming a British person is from London is saying an American must be from New York or Los Angeles or maybe Miami. Kind of tend to be like the key places that people know. But usually when I say Colorado, people think it's the Grand Canyon is there. It's not. It's kind of close, but it's called that because the Colorado, a lot of people think it's related to Colorado because the Colorado River flows through the Grand Canyon, but it's not in fact in the state of Colorado. But kind of the funny thing always with that is people don't tend to know really where it is.
Yeah, so it's kind of central west Colorado?
We say southwest is what that area is called. And you might also hear it called the Four Corners because Colorado, it's literally a square or a rectangle, I guess. And there's four states that are together, Colorado being one of them, that all have kind of like this rectangular or square shape. And where four of their corners come together is called the Four Corners. So I'm actually from the southwest of Colorado, which is near where all those state borders come together. And so a lot of times that's called the Four Corners area. Even though Colorado looks a bit centralish, we tend to say that entire part of the states is the southwest.
Interesting. And in the area that you're from then in the southwest, what's your closest neighboring state?
We have several of them. So the Four Corners, we have New Mexico, Arizona, and Utah. And then we have to the north, Wyoming, to the east, I believe we're like barely touching Texas, Nebraska. So it's really in the middle of a lot of different things. But the names don't make so much sense for areas in the States because my mom, for example, is from the Midwest, which is kind of like something you said, like Central West, which you would assume, you know, must be somewhere that's like north to south in the middle and to the left if you're looking at a map of the states, but it's not at all. It's like way east. It's like called the Midwest probably because early in the days of the United States, it was like west compared to the original colonies. But nowadays, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, that name, but it stuck.
Oh, so interesting. Yeah. I love learning about like history and geography, all these things.
And of course, when we're talking about American history, it's very recent history compared to British history. But
yeah.
All right. Well, we better go through these a little bit faster because there's a lot of them. So what's the next one of your assumptions, Andrea?
Yeah. So the next one was assuming that half of my family is from Greece. So this one isn't exactly true. Both of my parents are from Cyprus. I mean, my mom was born in London. My dad was born in Cyprus, though, but my grandparents and everything, my family originates from Cyprus, which isn't actually part of Greece, although we do speak the same language and I do have family in Greece. Cyprus is a little island in the Mediterranean, very close to Greece, but that is where all of my family really is from.
So I think actually just in having you join Real Life English, I learned the word Cypriot, because you said you're Greek Cypriot, and I didn't really know that adjective form of Cyprus, because it's quite different from the name of the island, right?
Yeah, it is. And it is important, I think, to mention it, because that would sometimes happen, especially when I first moved here. Not many people, maybe now it's different, but not many people I met knew or had heard of Cyprus. So then I would have to kind of talk about Greece just to, because they've heard of Greece.
Yeah.
You know, but to say I'm Greek would be wrong, because my family isn't from Greece, but I'm Greek Cypriot, because Cyprus, there are also people that are Turkish Cypriot. So their origins are in Turkey, but they have family in Cyprus. So it's important to distinguish the two.
Mm-hmm. Which makes it that much more of a unique place culturally, I'm sure, having both the Turkish and Greek roots mixed on one island.
Yeah, definitely. It's a little island with a lot of history.
I'm really keen to visit there, actually, because I don't know, I imagine most of the year it must just have really nice weather, kind of being mm-hmm. on an island, all the beaches must be really spectacular.
Yeah, definitely. I highly recommend it. I can't wait to go back.
All right. So my next one is Ethan speaks to Phoebe in Catalan. That is true. Absolutely true. It was actually quite funny when my parents were visiting, like in September, October, because it was the first time they were meeting her, and they don't speak Catalan, obviously, or Spanish, really. So they just like spoke to her in English. But for me, even being around them, speaking English to them, it's still with her. It's just like naturally comes out of me to speak to her in Catalan. So very well done, whoever sent that assumption.
I didn't actually know that one. So that's really interesting.
Oh, there you go. It's quite amazing. Funny how that happens. The same with like babies and things like that, that if you're used to speaking to someone in a certain language, then we actually had Gavin from Small Advantages on Beyond Borders. And it was interesting talking to him because he's American, his wife's American, but he only speaks to his kids in Portuguese. So even though being American and everything, he said at first it was really difficult because like naturally you want to speak to your baby in your mother tongue, but he really like trained himself to speak to them in Portuguese so that they could be bilingual.
Wow.
So anyway, that's a bit of a tangent. So what's your next one, Andrea?
I thought this one was quite funny. Andrea never gets irritated.
That's really fantastic. So they must think you're like, I don't know, like a robot or something. If you never get irritated, don't.
I know. I think maybe I saw another one that it didn't come up as much, so it didn't make the list, but I think it was something about me being quite calm. And I think maybe people sense that I tend to be quite a calm person and stuff. But, you know, we're all human. So there are times where I do get irritated. I can't say I never get irritated.
Yeah, it's human nature. All right. The next one, I was quite impressed too that someone knew this, because I don't recall talking about it too much here on the podcast, but that I used to work in a candy shop when I was young. And that's absolutely true. I used to be kind of like a summer job. When I'd go home from university, that one of my mom's friend owned a candy shop in Durango where I grew up. And yeah, I used to come home every summer from college, and I'd work there so I could like save up some money for the year.
So we would call this a different name. So I'm going to ask, did you eat lots of sweets when you worked there?
I've never been much of a sweet tooth, which means someone who really likes sweets. I mean, actually, that's not true. I did used to be a really big sweet tooth when I was younger, but I worked in the candy shop from when I was probably, I think like 19. And I think from my adult age, I haven't been as much of a sweet tooth. So mostly I liked like chocolates and stuff. And like at the beginning I would like eat some things, but it's like once you're around it just all day, it's just not that appealing to eat like candy and sweets and everything.
Yeah, that's true. I guess maybe if you were a bit younger, it would be different.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. If I were like my 6-year-old nephew, be like a kid in a candy shop, right? We have that expression. So, but yeah. No, I was quite able to control myself, but there were people I worked with who ate quite a bit of sweets, and it's not the best place to work if you're watching your weight and you enjoy candy, because obviously you're going to have a really strong willpower not to be gorging yourself on sweets.
Yeah, and you'll also damage your teeth if you eat too many.
That too. You better visit the dentist.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to continue with your next one?
Yeah, so the next one, I thought this one was quite interesting, that I'm a cat lover. And they also added that they believe that all British women are cat lovers, which I found quite interesting. Don't know if maybe in some movies or something like that, there's like, you know, cat ladies or like British women depicted as like living alone with cats or something.
Well, I think like maybe you'd be like a corgi lover or something like that if it were a British stereotype, because the Queen's quite famous, right, for her corgis. And I believe she has like a mixed breed or something, like a porgy or something like that.
I'm not sure. I definitely know about the corgis. Mm-hmm. But I mean, lots of people in Britain do love cats as well. Like cats and dogs, of course, are probably some of the most popular pets. And I don't know if I would say I'm a cat lover. I definitely was growing up. I really desperately wanted a cat growing up, but my parents wouldn't let me have a pet when I was younger, unfortunately. And I was actually afraid of dogs. I think I must have had a bad experience. And then as I got older, I worked on that fear and I became a lot more comfortable around most dogs. And I even wanted a dog as well. Like I do love dogs now as well. So that one you could say is half true, because it was true when I was a child. And nowadays, you know, I tend to love most animals.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing that in your whole adult life, if you couldn't get a cat when you were a kid, that you didn't end up adopting one or getting one.
Yeah, I think it just didn't work out really. And then we were kind of very close to having a dog and stuff. But then I got pregnant and I was like, no, it's not the right time.
No, it is not the right time. It's too much, a puppy and a baby.
Too much.
It's puppies in themselves are very much like babies. It's a little bit easier maybe, but still definitely there's a time there when you have to be very present to be training and things like this. And I can't imagine doing a puppy and a baby at the same time.
Yeah.
Too much. So the next one for me is Ethan is sociable and adventurous, which I could see where that would come from. I do not consider myself sociable, even though I think maybe I'm an okay actor. I'm okay at pretending to be someone that seems very like extroverted and sociable, but I'm very shy. It's something that learning languages, I think, has helped me with, because if you want to get fluent in language, you have to push yourself outside of your comfort zone. If you're an introvert, if you're shy, because otherwise, if you don't speak, you can't get better at speaking, right? Adventurous, I'd say that I am more than a lot of people, more than most people. I love traveling. I love going to new places, which I'm sure we've talked about ad nauseum on this podcast. And even with like, I think both you and me have like the adventurous thing with food, right? Anytime that we grab lunch or something, we like to go somewhere that might be offer something new and adventurous for us.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's something we have in common. We both love travel, love trying different foods and all those sorts of things. Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad I fooled people into believing I'm sociable. I'd say much more adventurous than sociable, for sure. Just a quick interruption to ask you a question. Do you ever feel frustrated when you are listening to a podcast, watching a TV series, or you are in a conversation in English and you do not understand what is said? Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our Real Life Native Immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use your English in the real world. Just imagine understanding your favorite TV series without subtitles, or confidently speaking with someone and comprehending everything they say. You can do it, and we're here to help. And the best part is, you can try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. That's P-O-D. Or simply click the link in the description of this episode. All right, what's your next one, Indra?
The next one is that I like cooking. I'm a Jamie Oliver fan and I don't eat meat.
That's hilarious. Are you a Jamie Oliver fan? I believe we have talked about him on the podcast
I think we have. Yeah, I do really like Jamie Oliver. I actually, here I don't have a lot of his cookbooks, but when I was living in London, I did have quite a few of his cookbooks because his recipes are pretty easy to follow. He has some really great cookbooks. So I do like him and I do make some of his meals. I do like cooking. I would say maybe sometimes, like, if I had more time, I'd probably do it more. And yeah, I don't eat meat. I think I stopped eating meat about 2.5 years ago now. And someone did mention also that you also don't eat meat, which is true, isn't it?
There you go. I eat fish. So
yeah, me too.
Pescatarian is the name of that.
Yeah.
Made me think though, maybe we need to do a Learning Show TV lesson with Jamie Oliver, because I think there are a lot of people, he's maybe one of the best known chefs in the world. And I think there's a lot of people who are big fans, and he's a great person to know about because he's very much into like simple, healthy meals, right? That like anyone can prepare. So
yeah, exactly. And he's traveled to different, like he has Jamie's Italian. He had a chain of restaurants in the UK. And I do also think he's just starting a new TV show as well. I just read about it recently. So yeah, it would be fun to make a lesson with him.
We'll have to take note of that. This next one is really interesting. I have no idea where this came from. So it says that I worked as a bus conductor before joining Real Life English as COO. I don't know where the bus conductor thing comes from. I'd be really interested to hear whoever sent that in, where they might have heard that or why they thought that. I don't even think that I could drive a bus. I don't know. I could give it a go. But, and then also I'm the CMO of Real Life English now, but I did used to be the COO before, Chad was actually on the team. And before he left, I was acting as COO, which kind of was a symbolic role because we're too small of a company really for a COO to play the role that a COO really does. But, then I took over everything with marketing. I have a master's in marketing now, so no, it's the CMO, which is Chief Marketing Officer.
Yeah. When I saw this one, I was like, oh gosh, is that true? Because then like there's something I don't know about you. And that's right. Quite interesting. That one actually came from Gaurav from India, who's in our fluency circle. So yeah, it's interesting he knew about COO.
Yeah, he's been following us for a while. If he probably a good 4 or 5 years if he knew about that.
Yeah.
So what's the next one in your list? I do know this one about you, actually.
Yeah. So this assumption is that I learned to ride a bike as an adult, which is true. Yeah. I don't know, maybe if I've mentioned it on the podcast and that's where this one came from.
I think we have talked about that as kind of like something, I don't know if it was on a podcast discussing kind of like confidence overcoming fear or something, because obviously a lot of people might say, it's too late for me to ride a bike at this point or something like that. But it's pretty cool that you learned it even while living here in Barcelona.
Yeah, it was always something that I wanted to do because, yeah, I was really sad that I never learned as a kid. I think just growing up where I did, and it just never really happened. And then I got to a stage where sometimes my cousins in Cyprus would try to teach me, but you know, they had these huge bikes and it was really scary if you would fall and all that kind of thing. And some really wonderful friends here taught me to ride, and then I made sure I practiced. And that feeling of being able to ride from one place to another, like just getting somewhere, like for me would make me so happy. So I'm really glad I did it.
Mm. I also learned a little bit late. I don't know if I was maybe like 10 or 11 or something like that. Because biking is very popular in Colorado, but I don't know why as a kid, I don't know if I was just kind of had some bad experiences or something of when I was learning when I was younger, that like falling down or something. But had one of my mom's best friends, you know, one day finally said, you need to learn to ride a bike. And she kind of had like a house in the country. And so I kind of like learned on the grass and stuff. And if you can fall as much as you want, it doesn't really hurt. And so then I was able to get it. And then kind of the same thing. I just loved like the sensation of being able to go down hills and just feeling like the wind in your hair. And very, very cool. And here in Barcelona, in many places in Europe, it's definitely a skill that you want to know because biking can often be the best form of transport.
Yeah.
Okay. The next one, another kind of interesting one that I'm curious where it came from, is Ethan has a haircut every month. Maybe it's just because I change my hairstyle so often. It's either like dyed a different color or in a different style, but I don't tend to, I probably say I go every like 5 to 6 weeks. Maybe it's pretty close.
But, yeah, it's not too far off.
Yeah.
But they wanted to comment something about your hair, I guess, because they noticed that it sometimes changes.
Right. that might be what it was related to. But I think most people probably get a haircut approximately every month, right?
Probably guys.
Maybe women less often.
Yeah, guys for sure. I maybe there are some women that do it every 6 to 8 weeks. I tend to do it a bit less. I probably do it once every 3 months.
Yeah, it's quite funny. During the pandemic, my sister-in-law started cutting all the men in my family's hair, not mine included, but like, yeah, she cuts my dad's hair, she cuts my brother's hair, she cuts my nephew's hair. So
yeah,
it's a good pandemic thing to learn, I suppose.
Yeah.
All right. So you have just one final one. I guess I have two more.
Yeah. So this last one is that my dad grows mint in his garden in Cyprus. Huh. And
someone watched our cooking video. Right?
Yes. That's what I was going to say for sure. Because I think this person also said that I like to eat dolmades, which is the food I think that we spoke about.
Which we call grape leaves in my family.
Yes. And it's true because the mint that I use in my cooking, the dried mint, is from my dad's garden in Cyprus. And I think this one came from Maria in Hungary from our fluency circle. And she says that she also grows mint in her garden. So I thought that was quite nice.
Yeah. Something I learned when I was younger, because we planted, my mom got like a planter box in our backyard. To be able to grow like herbs and vegetables and things like this. And we planted like one small mint plant to have like mint. Now it's just the entire planter box every summer is filled with mint, because I didn't realize this until that happened, that mint is kind of a weed, like it just takes over. So now we have, when I go back to my parents' house, there is endless mint in the summer.
Nice. Yeah, that's what I love about my dad's garden. It's not like a huge garden or anything. He has like a front and a back garden, but he grows so many different vegetables, fruits, and it's so nice. You can just go out into the garden, pick something, and then you're going to be eating it for lunch.
I do love that.
Yeah.
All right. I guess I'll share two, because I have two more left, and then we can get into the shared ones. Ethan likes to read different books. That's definitely true. I have cultivated a habit of reading a lot. At least I try to. Sometimes I'm reading in different kinds of books, like three at a time. I usually try to read every morning something that has to do with nonfiction, which might be having to do with like business or self-development or something like that. At night, I like to read fiction before reading, because I find it's like a really good way to kind of calm down and calm my mind and fall asleep. And sometimes I listen to audiobooks, like while I'm cooking or while I'm making breakfast in the morning. Not right now. I've been trying to catch up on podcasts, but yeah. So I'd say that one's very accurate. And the next one is that I went to Germany when I was 16 and learned German. Almost true. I went when I was 17 and I turned 18 there. I was there for 6 months. And I did learn German. I was like quite fluent in German, but unfortunately I just like didn't keep up the practice and learned Spanish in university, moved here in university, and then Brazil and all over. And so my German's definitely been neglected. I'd like to come back to it at some point.
Yeah, it goes back to if you don't use it, you'll lose it.
That is definitely true. But I did go to Berlin a couple summers ago, I believe before the pandemic, and really, I was surprised that I could understand still quite a bit, and it came back pretty quickly. So that's the nice thing about languages too, is they do kind of like stay somewhere in the back of your mind, and you can learn them again quite quickly.
Yeah, so all is not lost.
All is not lost. Yeah, if you've been in a slump with your English, it's never too late to come back to it and reignite that fire. So, all right, I'll let you do the honors since I shared two. I'll let you do the honors with the first one that we shared, which I believe maybe we already talked about, but.
Yeah, maybe we already talked about this one, that we're both foodies. Yeah.
What is a foodie? It's probably pretty obvious, but I really like that word.
Yeah, I like it too. It's so if you're a foodie, you're really into food, trying new foods and going out to eat and all those sorts of things.
Yeah, I think you even more so than me, because you even have like an Instagram dedicated to it, right? So if
and it has the word in it, fitness foodie.
Oh, there you go. So maybe whoever sent that one in follows your Instagram.
Yeah.
And we could link that in the show notes as well, in case there's any other foodies out there that want to see what you're eating.
Yeah, for sure.
Pretty soon maybe you'll be having mostly baby food on there.
I know, yeah. Right now it's Fitness Foodie Barcelona. So yeah, if I ever moved, I'd have to change it. But there hasn't been so much fitness on there lately, just food.
That's even better. So the next one is, they're both hardworking English coaches with a busy schedule. I'd say that's quite accurate, would you?
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty fair, both of us.
The next one's quite funny, and I guess it's been a while that we haven't talked about this, but it says Ethan and Andrea are engaged.
Yes. Oh, I remember when I first joined, like, lots of people kept asking me if I was your wife and things like that. So maybe this came from someone a bit newer. I think this one came from Instagram. Mm-hmm. So just to say this assumption is wrong. We're not engaged. We're not married.
It is kind of funny though that people like naturally assume that, I guess, like seeing two English teachers that are both teaching on the same channel, that we must be engaged or we must be a couple.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to assume.
All right. So Ethan is a morning person and Andrea is a night person. Are you a night person, Andrea?
Sort of. I think this one is kind of quite true, because you're definitely a morning person, aren't you?
Yeah. And another way we could say that is, what would it be, an early bird or a night owl, I think is the expressions we'll use for that, right?
I think it depends how you look at it. I wouldn't consider myself a morning person. I need a bit more time to like wake up and feel good. And I'm not so, I just saw my sister this morning because she's here visiting and she was full of beans, which means she had so much energy. And I was like, wow, you really are a morning person now, aren't you? Because I don't think she was like when we were younger or anything.
Yeah. Maybe having a baby will change that as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So at the moment I'd say I'm a bit more of a night person.
But I don't know if you're like a typical night owl either, because I don't think you're like up until all hours of the night or like particularly creative or productive late into the night, are you?
No, that's exactly it. Like, I do tend to stay up a bit later, probably, like the opposite of a morning person, but I'm not productive and working at night. No, that's for sure.
All right, just a couple more. Both love Christmas. That's totally probably true. Someone has been watching for a while, listening for a while, because even like our Christmas videos and podcasts, unfortunately, they don't tend to do so well, but you and I just love them so much that we always have to do something Christmas related.
Definitely.
And you don't have kids yet. What would you say about this one, Andrea?
Well, maybe you're new as well, because if you were listening at the start, and if you joined my Instagram live yesterday, you would know that I am pregnant. So not quite yet, but there's a bun in the oven.
That's a great expression. Yeah. What does that mean?
Yeah, so if it's another way to say that someone is pregnant, they have a bun in the oven.
Yeah, a bun is like a bread roll or something like that, right? A pastry.
Yeah. And, you know, it tends to, once you put it in, it's maybe a bit smaller and then it starts to sort of expand as it cooks. And I guess you can think of the same as the baby, and they're nice and warm, bundled up and growing.
Yeah. I always love that, that imagery. Maybe not one to use, I don't know, with someone at work, with someone that you don't know so closely. It's kind of a bit more informal, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's it. That's all for our assumptions. Do you want to give the shout out, Andrea?
Yeah, so we wanted to give a shout out and say thank you to Maria from Hungary, Mikhail from Slovakia, Mary from Spain, and Gaurav from India. members of our fluency circle who all sent these assumptions in, as well as those of you that sent assumptions through on Instagram as well. So sorry we couldn't mention all of you, but thank you so much for contributing to today's podcast episode. It was really fun.
It was. We'll have to maybe do a part two on this at some point because I don't know, maybe listeners won't enjoy it as much as we did, but I certainly liked hearing all these assumptions, especially if someone thought I was a bus conductor. All right. Thanks so much for joining us. And we hope to see you next week on the Real Life English Podcast. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Hey again. I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our 3-part power learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.